Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. September 23rd, good morning, the feast of one of our most beloved saints, St. Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, and the shrine to Padre Pio located in the beautiful area of San Giovanni Rotondo, which is in the Gargano Peninsula, the northeast portion of Puglia, which is the heel of Italy. I have a Tease Italy newsletter that went out talking about the area, talking about the beautiful shrine. 6 million pilgrims a year have been visiting that site to venerate Padre Pio. What an amazing witness he was in the 20th century and beyond, and what a life he led, and so much suffering, and never really traveled beyond. Maybe he went to Rome, but never really traveled beyond Italy, as far as I know, in terms of his bio. But the impact he's had, not only on Italy, but on the church and the world, just phenomenal, and the suffering he went through. Last year, I watched this great movie, one of several that EWTN has on the life of Padre Pio. And this one, it was really well done. The acting was excellent. It was done in Italian with English subtitles. And what fascinated me, and this is just a reminder for us, you know, we were talking yesterday with Professor Steve Weidenkopf. He's a teacher and a lecturer of the faith. His brand new book, Light from Darkness, 9 times the Catholic Church was in turmoil and came out stronger than before. We tend to think, as Steve mentioned yesterday, that what we're going through now is the absolute worst we've ever seen. Not to minimize, obviously, the situation, but this isn't Holy Mother Church's first rodeo, brothers and sisters. These kinds of awful evils have been with us forever. And Padre Pio went through so much suffering, not only physical suffering, because of the struggles he had physically. He often was sick and was very weak. And, of course, he was a stigmatist. He had the stigmata. And there were other issues that he struggled with as well. But in addition, there was a lot of suffering in terms of suffering from within the church. He was pretty much exiled because there was a lot of jealousy. And there's one scene, and a couple of scenes in the movie that are quite telling. And there's one scene where you've got the head of the Capuchins talking to leaders in Rome. And at one point, the Pope just bad-mouthing Padre Pio. A lot of it was due to jealousy and misunderstanding of what was happening in Pietrelcina, in that area of Puglia and San Giovanni Rotondo. And then also after he's cleared years later, I mean, he just basically is so humble and, you know, just says, okay, obviously the Lord is allowing this for a reason and uses this as a time for his own purification and whatnot. And then he comes out of it and he goes back into his ministry. And there's a scene of the Capuchins coming down to San Giovanni Rotondo. And at this point he had put together, Padre Pio was really, of course, in love with the poor and wanted to do so much for the poor in his country, in his native homeland, especially in that area of Puglia. Although the nature scenes are very pretty, the area struggles still to this day with a great deal of poverty. But anyway, bottom line is he's working on this hospital and this center to treat the poor and the sick and those who can't afford good medical treatment. And he puts together an excellent team, an excellent staff. And they raise a lot of money. They have a lot of outpouring of support and financial, you know, donations that come in because of Padre Pio's reputation as a holy man. And many people had received a lot of spiritual guidance and help from him. So he's very successful at raising money. But he set it up so that it was protected. I'm kind of generalizing everything. But so the Capuchins come back down. And there's this great scene in this film. I'll have to ask Doug Keck tomorrow when he's on with us the name of that particular film, because there have been many done on Padre Pio. But anyway, in this scene, and I almost fell off the couch. So this is after they had put this guy through an immense amount of suffering in terms of not allowing him to celebrate Mass, to do all these things he couldn't do as a priest, right? And he accepts it with all humility. And then they clear him, his name gets cleared, and they come back down. And he's thinking, okay, he says to them, what are you going to do to me now? Whatever, fine, I'll just go and pray, whatever the Lord, you know, gives me. They said, oh, no, we're not going to do anything to you, but we need your help. We need money. And they were trying to get a hold of money that he had helped raise for this hospital in San Giovanni Rotondo. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. This idea that this has not happened before, that this is the worst it's ever been. Think about that. After everything they had put him through, and he worked so hard to serve the poor, which is what the Capuchins are about, right? Dedicated to the least of these. And then they go down and they want the money because they had invested badly and had trusted someone who basically took a lot of money from the Capuchins and ran with it. And they go to Padre Pio and say, well, we want to take the money from the hospital. This is all laid out in this scene in this movie. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And of course, he had set it up so the money was protected and he was able to build the hospital. And that hospital, by the way, is considered to be one of the most successful hospitals, not only in Puglia, in San Giovanni Rotondo, but also in all of Europe in terms of the kind of work that they do in treating people with different illnesses, but also serving the actual needs of the people right there in an area where they don't get the proper medical care that they need. So it's just a phenomenal story. But again, over and over again, we see in church history this suffering from within and without. And we need to take courage from the saints. In addition to praying, asking for the intercession, we don't pray to the saints. We ask for their help because there's no worship for the saints. Worship is for God alone. The same with Our Lady. They are intercessors for us. So if you're asking for the intercession of Padre Pio today, I ask you as a favor, in addition to asking for his help, look at his life. Look at his suffering. Look at how he stood up against a lot of evil, but did it with very quiet humility. And he didn't attack the church. He didn't go out there and ask for sympathy. He took his lumps and he came out victorious. Now, I'm not saying we don't stand up against abuse. I mean, we do have teachings of the church, and that's why we have canon law. There are different processes one can go through to file a formal complaint. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me. But I think we forget when we ask for the intercession of the saints what they've gone through. And the fact that they even achieve sainthood or even are deemed venerable at any point is huge. And we forget that. And we act as if this suffering that we're seeing right now is something new, or the church isn't going to survive, or whatever. We need to pull back and connect the dots and learn from these saints and to really examine their lives and what they did to achieve holiness. And Padre Pio, in the reflection today, in the Magnificat, he's talking about it's all Jesus. You got to fill yourself up constantly with Jesus. And he said, if you keep going to the well for more, that means you understand that in this life, you're never going to be fully satisfied. That final satisfaction comes, God willing, when we get to heaven. So anyway, just my thoughts for the day. God put this on my heart, thinking about that fantastic film that EWTN has aired, and I can't think of the name of it, but I'm sure it's on the website at EWTN.com. Okay, coming up on the program, here's the rundown for this Thursday. We're going to check in with our dear, dear friends at Texas Alliance for Life, get the latest on what's happening there. Those folks are such heroes. The pushback they're getting, there's more companies that are pulling out of Texas because they don't want anything to do with such an awful state that just won't codify abortion. So Dr. Joe Poshman from the Texas Alliance for Life is joining us on some legal action taking place. We're also going to have one segment on a very important story on an event that's going on this weekend about Christian persecution. There's a big march coming up. And our friend Alan Holdren, who's now back in the States, helped us work on this interview. So we're very thankful to him. He used to be the head of the Rome Bureau. Wonderful, wonderful man back home here in the United States, still working in all kinds of great Catholic projects. And then we wrap up with our friend Gary Zimek, and he has a new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. Amen. All right. It is already, oh boy, I really have to shorten the newscast, don't I, Andrew, because I had like 12 bites in my sound bites in my news, but that's got to change because we're late. Let's take a look and see what's happening in the news. It is a Thursday morning, the feast of the great St. Padre Pio. Pray for us. September 23rd, 2021. Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, who actually joined us earlier this week on Catholic Connection from the Diocese of San Francisco, saying this week the Women's Health Protection Act is just the opposite, nothing short of child sacrifice. The bill proposed by Representative Judy Chu of California, claiming it recognizes the statutory right of women to have abortions, as well as the right of medical professionals to perform abortions, while also prohibiting many limitations on abortion. Archbishop Corleone adding, any reasonable person with a basic sense of morality and any inkling of decency cannot but shudder in horror at such a heinous evil bill codified in law. Corleone calling it especially shameful that any self-professed Catholic will be implicated in such an evil, let alone advocate for it. Meanwhile, Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin telling EWTN News Nightly that pro-abortion politicians in Congress stopping at nothing in multiple efforts to enshrine abortion.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, you know, though the parties disagreed on the issue of abortion, there was agreement on the Hyde Amendment that no federal taxpayer dollars would go towards abortion. And unfortunately, the Democrats have completely abandoned that those provisions, abandoned the Hyde Amendment protections, and this bill has no Hyde Amendment protections. And if you couple that with some of the bills that they're going to be putting on the House floor as a standalone bill that would allow abortion until the moment of birth, they've really adopted a very extreme position. I mean, this goes well beyond Roe versus Wade. It allows discriminatory abortions on the basis of a baby's sex, race, and disability. It's really unconscionable. All of these bills are really bad bills, and I think anyone who's pro-life needs to fight as hard as possible against them.
Speaking of which, Archbishop Corleone is also calling on Catholics across the nation to immediately pray and fast for members of Congress to do the right thing and keep staunch pro-abortion laws from being enacted. A Sacramento elementary school working feverishly to get its students stuck in Afghanistan back to safety here in the States. The principal of the elementary school, Baker Elementary, Nate McGill, has been in constant contact with those still behind enemy lines.
The liaisons who's working with a third-party evacuation effort had gotten in touch with the family, and they said this person had, and it was just a matter of collecting residency information, password information, with the hopes of a potential evacuation.
He insists the State Department is capable of doing a lot more to rescue families.
It's pretty frustrating from our government perspective. You know, these are folks who at one time helped our government and served them, and now there's nothing for them in terms of a diplomatic process or anything that can get them out of the country, and their lives are in danger.
And he says they are now waiting for either evacuation help or further instructions. The search for the missing fiance of Gabby Petito continuing today in a Florida nature preserve. Crews have been securing the Carlton Reserve near Brian Laundrie's Northport home, in an area that is 75% underwater. Agents are now using boats, drive teams, and sonar to navigate this area. Laundrie has been missing for a little more than a week now, while Petito's body was positively identified after remains were found in Wyoming this past weekend. Lisa G. tells us, meanwhile, there's a growing memorial for Gabby Petito in Northport, Florida.
The town officially made signs to designate the area in honor of Petito as crews continue to search for her fiancé and person of interest, Brian Laundrie, in a nearby preserve. While the medical examiner in Wyoming has declared Petito's death a homicide, family members are waiting for information on how she died. Then the ME can release her body and Petito's family can bring her home to Blue Point, Long Island.
Over two dozen Republican governors wanting a meeting with President Biden due to the immigration surge at the U.S. southern border. The governor is signing a letter to the White House requesting a meeting, but Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey says he's not holding out hope for a get-together anytime soon.
This White House doesn't listen to governors. It doesn't value governors. It doesn't talk to the governors. It looks at us as lower middle managers in their federal corporation.
The governors say the flow of migrants coming across the border has created a crisis. This comes as Texas Governor Greg Abbott is asking for a federal emergency declaration stating a large migrant camp under the International Bridge in Del Rio was overwhelming federal agents and the community there as well. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is promising monetary policy will support the economy for as long as needed.
Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Fed will do everything we can to support the economy for as long as it takes to complete the recovery.
The head of the central bank said real GDP rising by over 6% in the first part of this year, and it's expected to continue to rise. And thunderstorms moving in, lots of rain on the East Coast, and the ones that are rolling into the New York City area later today could bring heavy rain and a new round of flooding beginning this evening and lasting all the way into tomorrow morning.
In all, we got about 35 million people included in this flash flood watch, mostly because of the 10 million people in and around New York City are included in this. We do not expect this to be like, you know, an Ida situation, which we had, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. But isolated areas will get some very heavy rain.
Meteorologist Bill Karen saying throughout the day, New York City will also likely see showers, thunderstorms, and wind gusts as high as 31 miles per hour. Other parts of the Northeast will also be affected. by rain. And Macy's is putting on a national hiring event today. The department store chain looking for around 76,000 new employees for the Christmas shopping season and more. About 48,000 people will be hired for the holidays. Applicants will work at call centers, stores, and distribution and fulfillment centers. In 2020, more than 6,000 seasonal hirees actually joined the company in a permanent role. And finally, in our news segment at 15 minutes past hour, Matt Madison tells us fast food still appears to be on the menu more often for members of families or a number of families during the coronavirus.
That's according to Michigan's C.S. Mott Children's Hospital national poll on children's health. Half of those surveyed say their family is eating home-cooked meals more often, while 20% admitted fast food is being consumed more frequently. Hospital officials noted in their report the pandemic disrupted many family routines, and the demands and stress of daily life required compromises. Most parents agreed fast food is unhealthy for kids, but also okay in moderation and a good option when pressed for time.
Checking in with our friends down in the Lone Star State of Texas, our pro-life warriors, they have a response to lawsuits filed against an abortion provider under the Texas Heartbeat Act. We'll find out the latest and what we can do about the issue of abortion in Texas and across the nation. More on that coming up next. It is a Thursday morning, September 23rd. Pray, hope, and don't worry. The words of the great Saint Padre Pio. We'll be right back.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
On the air with us now, Dr. Joe Poyman, the Texas Alliance for Life's Executive Director. Joe, I'll tell you what, you're really pro-life warriors in Texas. God love you. So much happening as a response to the heartbeat law. A lot of news about this abortionist, Alan Braid. He's well known in San Antonio. He claims to have performed an abortion after the baby's heartbeat was detectable. Of course, that was in violation of the Texas Heartbeat Act. Your response to what's happening with him, but also the pushback that pro-life groups are getting in Texas and what the latest is. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Your thoughts, first of all, about this abortionist.
Alan Braid has been known for many, many decades in San Antonio, runs a very large abortion facility in San Antonio, has done that for many years. He apparently has one in Oklahoma also. So he is a little flamboyant and likes some attention, and he published this op-ed piece in the Washington Post at the end of last week saying he magnanimously performed an abortion in supposedly to help his patient. And let's remember what he's talking about. He took the life of an innocent unborn child whose heartbeat was detectable, supposedly, if he's being honest about that. And that's in violation of our law. And the Texas legislature has tried to do everything possible to protect unborn babies from the tragedy of abortion. And that's the Texas Heartbeat Act. So he's getting a lot of attention. We're going to see how this plays out in the courts.
So what happens? Is he going to face any type of repercussions for this or just get away with it or what? I mean, what's going to happen?
The Texas law, the Texas Heartbeat Act, is quite interesting and unique because it relies on individuals to enforce the law through private lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Two individuals from out of state have filed lawsuits. We're not sure how credible those people are, but the law allows those lawsuits. Those lawsuits have been filed in state district court in San Antonio. I don't think they've proceeded any further just yet. We're going to see how that shakes out. One of them is a guy in Arkansas who is, not terribly reputable. Another person is a disbarred attorney, I believe, in Chicago. Cases, but the fact is, Alan Braid is violating the law, or at least he claims he is, and he should be held accountable for that.
Yeah, amen to that. We're talking with Dr. Joe Poyman from Texas Alliance for Life. Yesterday was interesting, Joe. I was on the Facebook page for EWTN, our network, and I saw some of the good stories that were posting about, you know, your situation and developments in Texas and another effort by another, I think it's governor of Oklahoma, to put in more pro-life laws. And some woman commented erroneously criticizing pro-lifers because their concern, of course, they think stops at birth. So I put a link. I didn't say anything. I just put a link to some of the pregnancy resource centers and the umbrella groups that are out there, you know, Heartbeat, CareNet, and whatnot. I think a big part of this story that's being ignored by the secular press and having been in the media for 20 years, I think they're ignoring it because they don't want to let people know about what's available, is the fact that there is a really, really successful Alternatives to Abortion program dedicating over 100 million with the goal of serving 150,000 clients a year. That needs to get out there. More people need to know what's being done. Your thoughts?
That program, thank you. That program has been around by the legislature for more than 15 years, and it is a fantastic program. It serves, you know, at more than 100,000 women every year, and it provides all the services that a woman needs with an unplanned pregnancy to successfully carry the baby to birth, give birth to the child, and keep the baby if she wishes, or place that baby for adoption. That program will assist the woman for 3 years after the birth of the child. And as you said, that's being funded at $100 million over the next 2 years. Why the secular media are not more interested in it, I don't know, but I'm really glad that you are, because that's the other side of the picture. While the legislature passed the Texas Heartbeat Act, within approximately the same time they funded this really incredible program, the Alternatives to Abortion program.
It's interesting because you and I were talking during the break about actress Uma Thurman, and she's speaking out against the heartbeat law and claiming that, you know, she had an abortion when she was a teen and she has no regrets, except that she also said, if you read further and read between the lines, that it was the toughest thing she ever did and decision she ever made. But she talked about her situation at the time, that she wasn't in a financial situation. The money always comes up, and being pressured always comes up. And yet the media at the same time do not include the fact that there are so many pregnancy resource centers, and we outnumber, thanks be to God, now abortion mills 4-1. Now, the other thing that came out, I was doing an interview locally with a wonderful pro-life trainer who's doing a breakfast this morning in Michigan, where I live, and he was talking about how everybody says this is against women, right, your Heartbeat Act. Yet at the same time, he was saying that the majority of independent abortion mills are run by men who are making a ton of money driving around in Lamborghinis, you know, and Maseratis, and yet the pregnancy centers are run by women who really care about women and who are making virtually next to nothing and running these incredible ministries with a majority of volunteers and donations from concerned people.
Oh, yes, we have more than 300 independent, privately financed pro-life pregnancy resource centers across the state of Texas. They're in urban areas. They're in rural areas. If a woman seeks help, she will find it. And, yes, they are typically run by women. This is the pro-life movement. You know, anyone who's involved in it knows it's the leaders generally are women. I'm an exception. The rank and file are women. And the pregnancy assistance movement is definitely run by women. That's just the way it works out. So this is women helping women. Of course, they're not getting credit for it, but that is the reality of the pro-life movement.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if you have ever stood outside an abortion mill, which I'm sure you have, my husband is a sidewalk counselor, and he says he sees these abortionists, they know who they are, coming in all the time, and they're driving these, you know, very expensive cars, and a lot of these facilities are run by men. So who's taking advantage of women? I mean, it's just the opposite, Joe, of what the reality is that they're trying to portray.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a shame. We believe that from media reports, some of these people like Alan Braid who are in the press, there are fewer than 60 abortion providers, doctors who perform abortions in the state of Texas out of some 60,000 physicians. It's a very small fraction, and yes, they can do a lot of business, and it is a business, and they can get very wealthy from it. That is the reality of the abortion industry. That is an industry.
It is an industry. Joe, thanks so much. God bless you. We're going to be praying for Texas and the Alliance for Life, TexasAllianceForLife.org. Stay strong, and we'll be praying for you and also doing whatever we can to stand up for life. Dr. Joe Poyman, Texas Alliance for Life's Executive Director. We'll be right back.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Thursday morning, the Feast of Padre Pio, 28 minutes past the hour. Hope you're doing well, and honored to have a young woman who's making such a difference, Gia Chacon, and she's with the March for the Martyrs. It's actually coming up this weekend, and the website is forthemartyrs.com, and the march, again, is this weekend. Gia, thanks so much, and God bless you for your work and your ministry. Give us the details of the event coming up this weekend, first of all. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. So the March for the Martyrs is the first and only large-scale march in the United States to stand in solidarity with persecuted Christians around the world. So this weekend, on September 25th, we are going to be gathering on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., processing around the White House, and then ending with a conference about Christian persecution, and so that our brothers and sisters here in the United States can unify as one voice for the persecuted church and pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution.
What are the numbers like worldwide right now in terms of Christians being persecuted, and what are the hardest hit areas? I know Nigeria has seen just some horrific things and very recently, but where else are we looking in addition to maybe, of course, we know Afghanistan, we're trying to get a handle on that, but we're not getting much information from the administration. But other parts of the world that are really affected by this, do you think?
Well, in 2020 alone, we saw a 30% increase in Christian persecution. So in just 1 year, we had a 30% increase in the number of Christians who are persecuted for their faith, bringing the total number to 340 million Christians worldwide. And those statistics are from Open Doors USA. They also released in the same report that we saw a 60% increase in the number of Christians who were killed for their faith in a single year. So Christian persecution is skyrocketing. And in the past 4 years, we've continued to see these numbers increase. You're absolutely right. Nigeria is one of the countries that we wish was getting more coverage. There's really a silent genocide that's happening in Nigeria. You'll be shocked to know that there has been more Christians killed in Nigeria in the past 5-6 years than in Iraq and Syria combined under ISIS. So these are devastating numbers. Of course, we're paying attention to Afghanistan, where Christians are such a small minority. We're also looking at countries like China, where Christians are not persecuted because of radical Islam, but rather because of the communist government. So China is an example of that, as well as North Korea. And according to Open Doors, over 60 countries worldwide, Christians face high levels of persecution.
Wow. We're talking with Gia Chacon from the March of the Martyrs, and the website is forthemartyrs.com, a big event coming up this weekend, a march in Washington and a conference. How can people find out about it, and where can they register? They just go to your main website, Gia?
Yes, so you can register at forthemartyrs.com/register, and you can get all the details on our speakers as well as the event schedule. You can also join us online. So if you head to our website and register, there's an option to join us online. So if you can't join us in person, you can pray with us from wherever you are that day. And I invite everyone to follow us on social media as well, at March for the Martyrs.
I think sometimes we see these issues and we feel so overwhelmed. You mentioned, obviously, prayer. You know, today's a feast of a great prayer warrior, Padre Pio. But sometimes people feel, gosh, I don't know if there's anything else I can do. What would you say? I would think educating ourselves is also something we need to do on the plight of our brothers and sisters around the world.
Yes. Throughout my travels, a little background on myself, I've had the opportunity of traveling throughout the Middle East, working with the persecuted church. And we've done work in Egypt, as well as with the Iraqi and Syrian refugees in Jordan. And when we speak to the persecuted, we bring them food and clothing and we, you know, and humanitarian aid, but we'll always ask them, what's the greatest need? How can we help you more? And they always say two things. First, in response to what they need most, they almost always say, please continue to pray for us. But the second thing that they say is, thank you for knowing about our suffering. Thank you for not forgetting that we are suffering here in these countries. So my response to Christians here in the United States who feel maybe helpless or don't know how to respond to the crisis of Christian persecution, I would say, absolutely, Teresa, educate yourself. There are so many resources available. But also, don't underestimate the power of your voice. We need every Christian of every denomination to come together as one unified voice for the persecuted church, to pray for them, yes, but also to advocate on their behalf.
How did you get involved in this movement, in this important effort? What is it that motivates you?
In 2017, I began doing humanitarian work with my grandmother's nonprofit organization. So my grandmother had founded an organization that focused on international crisis relief. So she's been in the business for over 40 years working with the persecuted church. And I began traveling with her in 2017. So her organization doesn't focus primarily on the persecuted church, but where my heart was most deeply impacted were our travels throughout the Middle East. And in 2017, I had the opportunity to go to Egypt for the first time in my adult life. And being surrounded by Christians who were so on fire for their faith and realizing for the first time that it wasn't just the older generation that were willing to lay down their life for Christ, but young people, even my age and even younger, were so on fire and had made the radical commitment that they were willing to sacrifice anything, including their life, for the gospel and for the sake of our Lord Jesus. And that impacted me so deeply. And then throughout the years, traveling and doing work with the refugees, as I mentioned earlier in the show, sitting down with the refugees and hearing what they had suffered under ISIS and the atrocities that they faced because of their faith laid a heavy burden on my heart. And coming back to the United States and having conversations with people about Christian persecution, hardly anyone knows that it's happening, let alone do they know that right. Christians are the most persecuted religious group and that these numbers are increasing every year. So I ask God, what can we do to make an impact in the lives of the persecuted faithful? And through that, we founded For the Martyrs and led to the organizing of the March for the Martyrs.
Now, in terms of the numbers, how many people do you hope to reach this weekend, both online and in person? Gia, what do you think?
In person, we're expecting over 1,000 to join us, and we're hoping to reach hundreds of thousands on Facebook. We are going to be live streaming from our Facebook as well as across other channels as well, and partnering with other organizations to cross post. So we're expecting a great response to this weekend's event.
Well, I sure hope you get some additional media coverage because this is so important, and I think we need to see the reality of what's happening around the world with our brothers and sisters. So I want to remind folks of your website, which is forthemartyrs.com. forthemartyrs.com, and you can join online if you can't get there in person, but there's some great information and also some powerful videos on this beautiful website. What time does it all start on Saturday? You may have mentioned it, but kind of like just go over the housekeeping details for our listeners before we let you go.
Yes, so if you'll be joining us in person, which we really encourage everyone to do so if they're able, we will begin at 3 p.m. on the National Mall. And then our March for the Martyrs begins at 4 p.m., ending with an evening conference at the JW Marriott.
All right. Well, God love you. Keep up the great work, and we hope there's a big turnout, and hopefully we can do a follow-up on this to find out how things went. God bless your ministry and your courage for doing this. You could be doing a lot of things as a young woman concerned about things in the world, but this is your mission, and God's got you where he needs you. The website is forthemartyrs.com. Gia Chacon joining us this morning on the Big March this weekend. You may join online. Check it out, forthemartyrs.com. The march is on Saturday afternoon in Washington. Forthemartyrs.com. We'll be right back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I never cease to wonder at is that this Jesus, Son of God, came born in a stable, escapes from a king. And his whole life he's kind of hunted down by the jealousy and the ambition of the scribes and Pharisees and the king. And he speaks and heals to the people. He raises the dead and exorcises demons. Nobody's grateful. He does all that. He did. He continues to do all of that. And we still don't understand how much he loves us. Isn't that odd?
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer. With Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Gary Zimick is going to be speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference this weekend in Connecticut. We mentioned it earlier this week. Check it out. And it's not just for men, though. The wives are invited as well. Gary is with us this morning, though, to talk about a brand new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. Good morning. How are you? Long time no talk to, my friend.
I know. I've missed you. I've missed you. Things are good, though, Teresa. So glad to be able to talk about the new book and to be able to get back on the road again and share the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. And to do that in person, I think it's great that we've learned more about doing things online, but there's nothing like that personal contact with people. So tell us about the book.
Yeah, this is, believe it or not, Teresa, because you knew me before I wrote any books. This is book number 10.
I knew you before you were rich and famous.
You knew me before, something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that.
This is such an exciting book. It's Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. It's my first book for the Word Among Us Press. And you know what?
I love them. They produce they publish my Saints book. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it's such a blessing to work with them. You know, so this book is all about knowing, loving, and serving God. What does that mean? You know, we learned that back in catechism class way back when, but that's the way to find peace and happiness. So I just wanted to share some techniques, you know, my approach for knowing, loving, and serving God. What does that mean? Let's put it in practical terms. And of course, you know me, there's some information about how we can overcome worry.
I was just going to ask you. You haven't gotten away from the worrying message because
Because that's and I was writing today. I do these daily reflections that people can sign up for. They're free of charge. But in my daily reflection for today that I send out via email, I'm talking about the fact that I don't especially feel the presence of Jesus this week, and that happens sometimes. I don't always mm-hmm. feel him, but you have to push through that. Like, you know, today's gospel, I was really astonished by the fact, and I've heard this before, that Herod was intrigued by Jesus, and he worked to find, he wanted to meet him. And, you know, I found that it's an effort sometimes. We have to make the effort to know God, through Jesus, and we have to put that effort in. We have to look for him because we don't see him in the world necessarily. But if we mm-hmm. make the effort, we do find him, and we don't always feel him. Sometimes that faith is not a feeling. I know it's going to come back one day, but, you know, we have to push through. And that's what this book is all about, just finding the Lord in the midst of daily life.
So, I mean, I don't want to give the book away because I want people to get it. But just in terms, the one thing that, a big thing that helps me is to put things in context and to pull back and look right. at the big picture. And I love church teaching. I love history of the mm-hmm. church. I love the saints. I was talking this morning in the first hour of my show, and even at the top of the show today, encouraging people, if they're calling on, for example, the intercession of the great Padre Pio, yeah. to look at his life. And yes, we ask for his help as an intercessor for us in the communion of saints, but to understand that these people, you know, that we're seeking help and advice from, their lives were not, you know, a bed of roses.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and that's the key, to keep pushing forward. And you know this because you've been through this too. We can still find that peace, even in the midst of the storms in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the supernatural peace that comes from the Lord. But it doesn't mean that following Christ is going to make our life easier in terms of circumstances. It just doesn't work that way. But I've learned with his help to find peace in the midst of trials and tribulations. And I've learned also that it's important to embrace the cross that the Lord allows to enter into my life, which is what Padre Pio and the great saints did. That's the way we find the peace. And in fact, in this book, I break it down into three sections, knowing, loving, and serving God. And in the knowing God section, I do a chapter on three important facts that we have to know about the Lord. Number one, he loves us. Number two, he is with us. And number three, he is bigger than our problems. If we mm-hmm. keep that in the perspective, right? Then when we're facing that storm, we say, wait a minute, he loves me, and he could take this away if he wanted to. Therefore, this must be somehow good for me, and he's with me, so we're going to make it. You know, and that's, I do a lot of self-talk like that, and that
right.
really helps me to encounter him.
Right. The book is Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, published by Word Among Us, and it's written by our friend Gary Zimick. I think, too, if we look back, and Deacon Dom and I was mentioning too during the break that we're doing a big retreat for the deacons in the Archdiocese and their wives in the Archdiocese of San Antonio next weekend, and we're doing a whole theme on remembering in a good way, as Scripture says so often, remembering what the Lord has done, looking back and how God has brought you through. Not only brought you through, yeah. I think there's a lot of emphasis on, we got to get through this, we got to get through yeah. this. But we don't look enough at the benefits that come and the lessons that are learned and how, wow, I wouldn't ask for that, but now I realize that God allowed that to happen for a very specific reason, and I wouldn't be in the place I am today had I not gone through that.
That's exactly right. And if we put too much emphasis on the pain that comes along with carrying our cross, we're going to miss out on the benefits that come from carrying the cross. You know, on the other side of that cross is some really good stuff. We just got to somehow push through. And Teresa, like, I mean, look through the Bible. God is faithful. He's always there for his people. Look at our own lives. If he wasn't taking care of our needs from the moment we were first conceived, we wouldn't be alive today. So
right.
He doesn't change. He took care of his people in the past. He took care of me in the past. He's going to be there in the future.
I think the subtitle is really important, Finding Peace and Happiness, because we're all looking for that. And I do agree that sometimes there's too much emphasis, and who wants to join Christianity if it's all about, hey, suffering, all we're going to do is suffer, suffer, suffer. Well, that's not the point. The point is that everybody is going to suffer.
Yes.
I don't care if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you're a Jewish brother or sister in the Lord, if you're part of a different religion, I don't know, whatever you claim to be. Every single human being on the planet is going to suffer regardless of, whatever they personally believe, because we live in a fallen world and we're all affected by sin. So what the Christian church gives us, obviously, is salvation through the only way, Jesus Christ, but also a really deeper joy in understanding, having an understanding of suffering, right? The theology of suffering, as we talk about in the Catholic faith.
Exactly, and I'm so glad you said that. There is something in it for us. You know, that sounds greedy, but look, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy, but he's so good that he can transform our suffering into a potential source of peace and happiness. It sounds crazy, but, once you try it, Christianity really works. There can be joy in carrying the cross, because one of the greatest sources of suffering is trying to run away from your problems. You can't do it.
And trying to run away from what God has in store for you because you think it's scary. But the end of the day, and you and I have talked about this at length, when we see each other and we've chatted over the phone, is that when God says, okay, this is my will for you, when you kind of get that message and when you accept it, it's scary at first, but then you realize I'm happier than I've ever been. I mean, you walked away from a very successful career. And now you have an entirely different career, quote unquote. And I know you personally, and I know you've never been happier.
That's exactly right. And you know what, Teresa? I didn't exactly walk away. I got laid off from a 30-year career.
Right, but you didn't go back in looking for another job is what I meant.
Exactly right. But it looked bad at the time. I was the sole provider for my family, and I still am. That was 10 years ago. The Lord brought me to a place that I never thought possible. You're right. Boy, what joy I get out of proclaiming the good news. And my family is affected by it, too, in a positive way.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about, in terms, because you still do, you have a great ministry in helping people deal with anxiety and worry.
Yeah.
How have you seen those anxieties, Gary, and those worries change, given what we've been through with COVID the last couple of years? What do you think?
They have definitely escalated. And in fact, I saw it with my wife. My wife went through a horrible bout with anxiety during COVID. We were all healthy the whole time. But the fear just really got to her, but the Lord brought her to a much better place. And her relationship with him has been transformed. So it was tough. It was really brutal. I mean, she wasn't sleeping. And I wrote 3 books during the past year. So I wasn't sleeping because I was trying to comfort her. But the Lord took us both to a better place. But Teresa, I get emails almost every day from people who are really struggling with worry. And they somehow find me. And they take my advice, and my advice is to, encounter Jesus, walk with him every day, spend some time with him, and I get testimonials from people who are very much at peace, much more at peace than when they started. But definitely, I feel the anxiety is risen to almost an epidemic proportion right now in the world.
Yeah. So I think this book, the timing of it, is really important. Whom did you have in mind, Gary, when you wrote it?
I had in mind the people, the people who I reach out to. I reach out to people who are like me for so many years. Just life is flat to them, Somebody who's looking for something more, who wants that to take that next step in a relationship with God, or who maybe is out of options and is saying, well, let me just try God, So this book can reach people on many different levels. I want to give hope to the hopeless, and I think that's what this book will do.
It's a beautiful book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, from our friend Gary Zimick. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to shift gears for just a second, because I want to plug the conference coming up. Speaking of a really great insight and advice and and encouragement. I'm really hoping the weather holds out. I know that they're going to have some rain in New York. I'm hoping Connecticut isn't affected. But it's going to be a great event. It's at a baseball stadium so people can separate if they're concerned. And there's going to be obviously COVID. They're going to be honoring people's concerns with COVID. But
yes.
It's going to be in a very safe location because you're going to be outdoors and you can spread out. And I know that about 500-600 guys have already or people have already registered, maybe some wives in that as well. This is a Catholic men's conference coming up in Connecticut. You've got a wonderful bishop there, Leonard Blair, whom I know personally is going to be the chief celebrant of the Mass. And you're going to be talking about, and I know you love this topic, and so do I, all about our Blessed Mother.
Yep, listen to your Blessed Mother. That's the title of my second book, the second book that I wrote. It's all about looking at the words of Mary in Scripture. You know, we've talked about this before. She only spoke on four occasions, as recorded in the Bible. I'm going to go through each of those her words and talk about what we can learn from her. And it's just such a powerful message. I'm so excited to be speaking about the Blessed Mother and equally excited to be speaking along with Father Don Calloway and Ralph Martin, Dr. Blythe Kaufman. I mean, some heavy hitters at this conference. So I am honored to be invited and to participate in it.
Yeah, and this is it's really great. And I'm so glad that these things are happening again. You know, I mean, it's just we just need this right now. So this is actually, the theme is the Most Holy Rosary. And They do have a backup plan, by the way, I'm seeing now on the website, that if it rains, they have a backup location at a cathedral. So you don't have to worry about that, the Cathedral of St.
Exactly.
Joseph, which is great. So no excuses, right?
That's right. That's right. And you know what, Teresa? This is the first time that I will be offering my new book for sale, Journey with God. So very first time that I'm going to be having it available for sale, in addition to my book on the Blessed Mother.
Right. So Catholic Men's Conference in Connecticut, but women are welcome as well. The website is, as I mentioned the other day when we were talking about this, ctcatholicmen.org. So in terms of the messages that you want people to hear, especially on a day like today, the Feast of St. Padre Pio, what can you leave us with? We have about 2 minutes left. Your final thoughts, Gary, given all the trouble in the world.
Can I quote Padre Pio?
You certainly may.
Pray, hope, and don't worry, right? I mean, that's what it all comes down to. We pray because the Lord wants to help us. We hope because in Christ there is hope. You know, I tell people that if you're suffering right now, hope means that you believe things will get better. How that happens, we're not sure, but we trust the Lord. And then finally, don't worry, because if you're praying and you're hoping, there is no need to worry, because worry accomplishes nothing. And Teresa, while I have a couple of seconds, I just want to say, if anybody is struggling, I make this offer all the time, please contact me. If you're struggling with anxiety, if you're feeling hopeless, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email. I answer emails. You know, I encourage people to reach out. We're in this together. This is my life. This is my vocation. I'm going to be doing this, Teresa, until the day I die. You know, I'm not retiring. This is what the Lord wants me to do. I want
Amen.
To help. There is hope.
Yeah, amen. And the other thing, too, is we have to all stop, and we all do this, trying to get everything perfectly aligned all the time in our lives.
Yes.
This is not heaven.
Yes.
This is a fallen world.
Cool.
And you'd be joyful and happy in your circumstances. Nothing is ever going to be 100% perfect, okay?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I was telling my wife and I were talking about this the other day. This is not heaven. But we can have that beginning to heaven with our relationship with the Lord. The key is, Teresa, learn to live with uncertainty. But we have certainty in the faith, in our faith, right? So that's
Amen.
I think that's the key.
Oops. Gary, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Journeying with God is the book, Finding Peace and Happiness. That's his latest book. He's also speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference coming up this weekend in Connecticut. Published by our friends at Word Among Us. We'll be right back on a Thursday, wrapping up. Stay tuned.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Well, you go out there and you have a good day, okay? Hope you're having a good day already. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President, as we wrap up the month of September. What can we look forward to? Some great EWTM programming. He'll join us on a Friday. And Andrew is working on getting a sister, my co-host of the Catholic View for Women, Janet Moran, on. Of course, she's also the co-founder of the beautiful ministry, the Silent No More campaign, working with women and men who are post-abortive, post-abortion healing. And she wants to weigh in on this story about the actress Uma Thurman. I think there's a lot to learn from this in terms of what's being said, that reading between the lines. All of that plus you on a Friday. Have a blessed Thursday. Pray, hope, don't worry. Padre Pio, pray for us.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.